Anybody can believe in God's master plan designed with Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ. In the Old Testament, every year they would have a remembrance of sin. The high priest would enter in once a year and make an atonement. It was a remembrance. But now because of Christ and our high priest and Jesus, we don't have remembrance of sin. We have remission of sin. It's been taken away. What sin are you talking about? And thank God, I'm excited to be a part of the blood-washed family of God. And I'm here this morning because I love Jesus. Amen? No, you listen, I tell you, the best way to go to church is you go to church because you get to go to church. Amen? And it's a joy, it's a privilege to be a part of the family of God and to worship, provoke one another to love and encourage each other and to worship the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, I want you to read some verses starting in verse number 18. And I want you to read them with me out loud. And I want you to read it with me loud. Lift up your voice. Everywhere there's a period, a punctuation, so forth. We're going to give a pause, a comma, and then we'll pick up. And we're going to go verse 18 to verse number 32. And you listen with the Word of God as we read it. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And verse 32, our last verse. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Father, we thank you for the blessed words of life. I pray now that you'd help us. Thank you for the wonderful Bible, the book that reads us. And I pray for your help. I know you don't have to have me, but I've got to have thee. And I plead, as the Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians, I came not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And Lord, would it be this morning? I pray for the treasure as an earthen vessel, that the excellency of power may be of thee and not of me. So please, endue me from on high, and preach through me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 9, we have Jesus returning to Capernaum. The call of Matthew's in verse 9, and Jesus begins to do some amazing miracles. Miracles that bring hope to hopeless people. We're going to get into a section here of miracles that reminds us that our God is a God who restores people, restores situations. He brings hope to families. He brings hope to women. He brings hope to men. He brings hope to situations that look so gloom, doom, and hardcore, and woe is me. Our Savior this morning is a powerful Savior that brings hope to those that need hope. He has the power over death. He has the power over disease. He has power over darkness. And he has power over the devils. The devil has some power, but God's got all power. Amen? And we're going to see this morning a wonderful Savior who rescues people, who rescues families, who rescues individuals, and He turns bad situations into good situations. A hopeful Christ. We don't have to live miserable. We don't have to endure. We can live enjoying. We can live on victory lane. We can live with hope. And look, some of you need some hope this morning. There's hope in Jesus. There's hope with the Savior. You can live today because I know He lives. Amen. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I'm His own. What a wonderful Savior we have. I want you to notice first, a hopeless home. A hopeless home. And I want you to listen. This is good. God's got a message this morning. God wants to speak to your heart. Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about what somebody ought to hear. God this morning has got a message just for you. We see a hopeless home. The Bible says in verse 18, while He spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped Him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed Him, and so did His disciples. We see here, and look, there's a reference that you can go to in Mark chapter 5, verse 22 and so forth. We see these same things. The Bible said this man was a certain ruler. In Mark chapter 5, we find out that he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a man of religion. He was a man of worship. He was a man that led religious duties. Jairus was a religious man, a man that led in the synagogue. And he had a problem at the house. His daughter was sick. He was a devout Jew. And devout Jews should not be going to Jesus. They should be going to the synagogue. But this man knew that what he had been worshiping was not doing the trick. He had a hopeless situation. His daughter was near death. In Mark chapter 5, when he came to Jesus, he says she's even at the point of death. His daughter was about to die, and he could not get his help from religion, so he came to get his help from Jesus. Man, let me tell you something. There's good news in the name of Jesus. Hey, there's hope in the name of Jesus. A hopeless home came to Jesus. And Jairus fell at His feet. A man that was well known. A man that everyone knew his problem. And he wasn't ashamed. He had to get the help. He had to come to Jesus. So he falls down and says, Jesus, come help me. My daughter, close to death. And Jesus says, let's go. And then on the way to healing, on the way, Jesus is going to heal the daughter. On the way, we find another situation, not only a hopeless home, but we see a hopeless life. A woman who has an issue of blood for 12 years, nonstop bleeding. And listen, that's a big thing. According to Leviticus chapter 15, if you had blood that came forth and you could not put it away, you could not even worship. If you were a Jewish person, you were unclean and you could not worship. That was part of the Levitical law. And so here comes a woman who has an issue of blood, a hopeless life. Look what the Bible says. As Jairus and Jesus walks on in verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind and touched the hem of His garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch His garment, I shall be whole. What great faith. Amen. But Jesus turned him about. And when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now listen, we're going to go to Mark chapter 5. This is so precious. This woman comes to Jesus. She's got a life of hopelessness. She can't even worship. We see Jairus, who's a ruler in the synagogue with a hopeless home. And then we see a woman who can't even worship. She's a hopeless woman, a hopeless life, diseased with an issue of blood. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 25, and a certain woman, this is that lady, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. We see that this woman, Her life was so messed up. She was doing everything she could to get help. She had gone to every physician in town. She had spent all her money up. She wanted this disease to be gone. She did not know what it was like to even worship. She could not find the peace that she needed. 12 years, this thing ruining her, being marked as an unclean woman and disease for 12 years, a hopeless life. Could you imagine? And some of us, we've been there. The sin of this world, it's got us marked. We're living in hopelessness. Hey, there's only one answer. It's not many physicians. And there's only one answer to a hopeless home. It's not religion. There's only one answer to a hopeless life. A woman that's been battered. A man that's been hurt. Somebody whose dreams have been crashed. Whose life has been wrecked and ruined by sin. This woman came to Jesus and she went to just touch the hem of His garment. The Bible teaches us in the Old Testament, the hem, kind of like tassels on the end of a garment. It represented that they were the people of God. God did that on purpose for them. And she said, if I can just touch His garment. There was a crowd going with them. And she moved in. You read in Mark chapter 5 that people said, Jesus, somebody touched you. Look at all these people. But this woman, she had to get to Jesus. She had touched Jesus. By the way, we see that Jesus, He's so powerful. He does a miracle without even speaking a word. She falls down, touches His garment, and without even Jesus speaking, she's made whole that very moment. Look what it says. It says that she went for Him. It says, verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press, said, who touched my clothes? She got healed without even a word from Jesus. Whew, it sounds like my Savior. Hey, there's no power of... Hey, there's nothing... He's got power over disease. There's no disease He can't handle. The disease of sin, He can have victory over it. She fell down. She touched His garment. By the way, after that, and after Jesus said, somebody touch me, she got scared. She got fearful. I mean, it wasn't a good thing for a woman to have an issue of blood to walk up to somebody like a rabbi of the presence of the Master Jesus Christ and touch her. She got scared, so she comes to Him. The Bible says, and later on in this passage, the next verse, she falls down and she begins to tell Him all the truth. It was me that touched you, and I've got an issue of blood, and I'm sorry, and she's scared, and she's fearful. But look how Jesus answers her. The Bible says, as she fell down, and the Bible says, verse 33, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came, fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, daughter, daughter. I tell you what's interesting. The word that Jesus chose to speak to the one that's fearful and trembling, a hopeless life, He called her daughter. That shows affection. That's a special word to give somebody. She's scared. She's for 12 years been living a life of hopelessness. And then she comes to Jesus. He says, somebody's touched me. I felt virtue. And she's healed. She tells Him it was me. And she's scared as she tells the great Master. And then He says, daughter. In Matthew chapter 9 that we're reading from, that we openly read, He said, be of good comfort. Sounds like the Savior, don't it? Brings hope to the hopeless. Rescues a damaged life. Look right here. Hey, sin destroys lives. Ruins and wrecks. Brings hopelessness, shattered dreams, broken homes. I mean, I don't care how much religion you got, you'll be just like Jairus with a broken, hopeless home without Jesus. No matter how much money you pay to have a better life, no matter all the diet plans and diet programs you get yourself involved in, and no matter the education that you have to have, people say, knowledge is power. Let me tell you something. Jesus is power. That's what it is. Hey, listen, what you need is Jesus Christ. He gives hope to the hopeless. He brings back the hopeless family. He brings back the hopeless life. He builds him up. Hey, daughter, be of good comfort. And she's whole. 12 years. Now, Jairus is right beside all this. He's watching this take place. Now, put yourself in Jairus. Put yourself in his position. He's thinking, Lord, my daughter's about to die, and you're over here healing this woman. Now, that's great, but my daughter's about to die. You'd be like that too now. Amen. Don't worry about that girl. Come help my daughter. Maybe Jerry has got a little upset, got a little, you know, bothered. And right in the middle, as Jesus is comforting this woman who's been living a life of hopelessness, as he's taking time out of his life to heal this woman, he knew exactly what it was when she fell down and touched him. He did this to show that he was the powerful Savior. And right then, as he's talking to her and comforting her, somebody comes on the scene. Look what it says. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Hallelujah. He comes up while he's talking to Jesus, and this man says, don't even worry about it. She died. The hopeless home situation is over. It went from bad to worse. She's dead. Don't even worry about it. Jesus says, hey, I am the resurrection. Amen. Come with me. Come on. He's got power over death. He's got power over diseases. I'm talking about my God. Amen. I'm talking about the one I'm here this morning to worship. Hey, you don't have to live like you're living. There's victory in Jesus. You don't have to live depressed with suicidal thoughts and trying to find some pleasure in this world. You don't have to keep searching and digging, trying to find love in the wrong places. Hey, there's some victory in Jesus, and all the answers to this world is found in Him. Hey, Jesus, He's the answer to everything. He's the answer to everything. You say, I need some counsel. I've got a messed up family. I'll tell you what you do. You go to Jesus. Hope to a hopeless home. Hope to a hopeless home. Recently, the news has come aware of the famous Christians that have had their own reality show, and my heart breaks for the situation, but this man has come out as a hypocrite, and all the scandals and all the immorality of life and all those that are living in sin that act like they're okay and they act like everything's alright. Let me tell you something. The answer to his problem and the answer to every problem is simply Jesus. It's not religion. It's not trying to have a good motive. It's not having a desire to live for God. If you walk with God and stay at the feet of Jesus, I'm here to tell you, hey, you will be just fine. Simple. You know why men fail and break up a good home? You know why women fail and break up a good home? You know why children become prodigals? Because they're not with Jesus. It's that simple. You can want to do good, but unless you're walking consciously in the presence of Jesus, unless you have a real devotional life, you can want all you want and you'll still be a dirty, rotten sinner. Living in sin, living in hypocrisy, breaking homes, making decisions that will ruin and wreck your family. Plain and simple. I have found out that better men than me have fallen. Better men than me have messed up. Come on now. Well, what was it? Did they not fear God? No, they feared God. Or I believe they feared God with their heart. Did they not believe the Bible? Listen, they preached like they sure believed it. And it sure does seem like their life in the past, they believed the Word of God and they walked with God. Well, what in the world happens when somebody turns their life and their home into hopelessness? I'll tell you what it is. They left the conscious walk of Jesus. That's what it is. A personal walk with Jesus Christ. If you'll dedicate your life to love Jesus, love Him, and walk with Him, and read your Bible. That children's song is right. Read your Bible. Pray every day. And you'll grow, grow, grow. But neglect your Bible. Forget to pray. I don't care if you want to be a good Christian. I don't care if you have a job description at a church. If you neglect your Bible, forget to pray, you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Oh, my soul. Religion doesn't fix a hopeless home. Physicians can't fix a hopeless life. There's not a dollar bill in the world that's going to make you happy. Your dream car doesn't satisfy your needs. Jesus has made it look right here that even a spouse cannot meet your needs. You say, my answer is my wife. No, she's not. My answer is my husband. No, he's not. My answer is my job. No, it's not. Your best friend can fail you. Your own family can die. And your job can give you up. Your answer is not people. And your answer is not circumstances. Your answer is Jesus. The Christ. The Savior. Blessed Jesus. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. What you need is to be with Jesus. And Jairus, he hears Jesus. It's interesting. Things begin to develop in Jairus' life. Look at this hopeless home situation. The Bible says in verse 36 of this passage, Mark 5, as soon as Jesus heard the word that it was spoken, he said, verse 36, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, believe not, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the torment and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Here's Jesus. He walks in, everybody's crying. Put yourself there. Come on now, be a thinker. Jesus walks in, everybody's crying. The hopeless situation, the hopeless home. And Jesus says, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? God walks in that room and looks around and says, why y'all weeping? She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Somebody's sitting there thinking, I just got done holding her hand. It's ice cold. What are you talking about sleeping? She's dead. We saw her take her last breath. They begin to mock and scorn. They begin to laugh at Jesus. And by the way, because they had little faith and they made light of the situation, they get to miss the miracle. Jesus says, those that are laughing, see you later. Put them out. Jairus puts them out. They get them out. The Bible says in the next verse, in verse number 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. Sounds like Jesus. Jesus walks in there and they laugh at him. The man that has power over death. God himself that created life. They make fun of the situation. And Jesus puts them out. And then he turns the hopeless home into a hopeful home. And he raises the girl right there. Raises her up. The power of Jesus. Now, what problem do you got this morning that he can't raise up? What broken home do you have that he can't raise back up? Everybody's quick to call it quits when they ought to be calling on God. And you know what they do? I'm here to help you. You know what they do? They act like they call on God. In the moment of distress, in the moment of their low point, they begin to call on God in their low point. But then as the emotion passes by and as next Monday rolls around the corner and they clock in their job and they start their life over again, they begin to put God right where he was in their life in the back place, the back burner, and forget about him all over again. I thought you need help. I thought you want God to help you. I thought you want a hopeless home to turn into a hopeful home. Well, you got to stay with Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. He said, follow me. Jesus had to stay with him the whole way. Even when that woman was being healed, he had to stay with Jesus. And then listen, there's three big things that happened that could have disturbed the whole thing. Thank God. Listen, trust the Lord. Jairus, he didn't let his feelings get in the way. You know his feelings got in there, but he didn't let it stay in there. Jesus, my daughter just died and you're healing this woman. He could have left it right then. He could say, she's dead. I'm leaving. He didn't let his feelings get in the way. Number two, he didn't let others get in the way. Oh, your daughter's dead. Oh, yeah, she's, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. He did not let others get in the way. He trusted in Christ. And number three, he didn't let the circumstance keep him from trusting the Lord either. She's dead, Jairus. Why is Jesus here? She's dead. Jesus said, believe. I'm going to believe. What's going on in your life that's making you doubt the power of God? Look right here. Are you doubting the ability of an almighty God in your home? Are you doubting the power and the ability of God Himself in your home? Only believe. Only believe. Let me show you another thing, the other miracle we read in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, we have another one in verse 27. The Bible says that when Jesus departed, thence two blind men followed Him. We got two blind men that enter the picture. Jesus is recorded of healing six blind men specifically. It's a great miracle when you make the blind see, amen. A man that's been known to be blind, not someone that showed up somewhere and says he's blind, amen. But been blind. We don't know the situation. We understand from Mark chapter 9, I believe, it's that passage where Jesus, they said, why is this man blind? Talking about another man. Is it because of sin? And He said, listen, I'm just summing up. He said, it's not because of sin in this situation, just so the glory of God can be shown. This man did not sin, nor his parents. So we understand that sometimes somebody is born blind. Somebody has this kind of a problem just because God wants to be glorified. But we also know that sometimes sin does cause infirmities to our life. We don't know particularly these two blind men. What we do know is that these two blind men had a situation, and that's why number three, not only a hopeless home and a hopeless life, but number three, a hopeless situation. Please hang in there. God's going to help you this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. A hopeless situation. These men had a hope. They were blind. They had some dedicated friends that were actually helping them catch up to Jesus. The Bible said, notice the wording of the Word of God, and when Jesus departed to this, two blind men followed Him. How are they following Him? They're blind. They no doubt about it. They had some friends helping them. The Bible says they were crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. That name meant something to Jesus. Thou Son of David, that was the Davidic covenant that God had promised King David that his seed would reign as Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ. Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. The Bible says, notice, I want you to pay attention to this. The Bible says in verse number 28, watch this. And when He was coming to the house, the blind men came to Him. So Jesus enters the house, and the two blind men, no doubt, again, their friends helped them. They actually follow Him into the house while they're crying and pleading out. And Jesus says this, watch this. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And I want you to notice, circle, underline it. Notice how He says, to do this. This situation. Do you believe that I'm able to do this thing right here? See, there might be a situation this morning in your home, in your life, at your job. God takes hopeless situations and turns them hopeful. You know, He can do this. He's able to do this. You say, I've got this problem. Yeah, He's able to do that. He's able. You fill in the blank. He is able to do this right now in your life. I mean, He's able, I know my Lord is able. What is it this morning that's got you doubting? What is it this morning that's got you cold and you came here, but down in your heart, you're cold with God. You haven't been reading your Bible. You're not walking like you should. You're doubting the very promises of God. What is this that's bothering you this morning? What is the this that God needs to do? What is the this that you need that's hopeless in your life? The this that's hopeless. Take it to Jesus. Believe that I'm able to do this. He helps a hopeless home. He helps a hopeless life. He helps a hopeless situation. There's times in our life, you might not be in it right now, but you wake up. You're going to be in it before you know it. There's moments in our life that the situation seems hopeless. What am I going to do? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's what you do. You go to God. Notice what happens. The Bible says in verse 30, and their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." God said to them, God looked at those two blind men and said, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" And notice their response. It's a beautiful response. The Bible says, they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Wow. Did anybody see a but in there? Their faith was, yea. You think you believe I'm able to do this problem in your life? Yes. And there you go. Faith has just made you whole. Eyes are open. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice what happens next. We have another healing, not only a hopeless situation, but number four, a hopeless soul. A soul. Verse 32, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. So you see a man that was possessed by a devil. Hey, don't forget, he's got power. Amen. He's got power over death. He's got power over diseases. Hey, Jairus found out he's got power over death. And the woman found out he's got power over diseases. The two blind men found out he's got power over darkness. And this man's about to find out he's got power over devils. Amen. The demons of this world. This man couldn't even speak. Sometimes we find the demonic dark world hinders and abuses a body. And right here, this man that could not speak, he was affected not because of sin, but because a demon that had possessed him. He had let his life, who knows how he allowed his mind to enter the portals and the gates of the evil world and the dark world and the seducing spirits. But demons had possessed this young man, and now this man cannot speak. And listen, everybody knows about this guy. Everybody knows. Listen, when this man gets healed, everybody says, whoa. Because everybody knows about this one. Possessed with a demon, can't speak, comes to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. A hopeless soul. His soul was possessed. His soul, he could not speak. He did not know what it was like to speak and enjoy life. His soul was disturbed by this demon. The Bible says, and when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marvel, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. One of the prophecies, little side commercial, one of the prophecies that Jesus said, this Jesus was going to be the Christ, the Messiah in the Old Testament, was that he was going to make blind men see and dumb men speak. And here it is. Listen, you know why they marveled? Because it had never been done before in Israel. Nobody had made somebody that could not speak, speak. And to top it off, he was demonically possessed. Demons, devils were in his life. Possessing him, doing things he should not have been doing to himself, no doubt. And here comes Jesus, a hopeless soul. And he changes it. Are you listening? He changes it. The man speaks. Everybody marvels. Unbelievable. There's not one sinner in the world Jesus cannot change. Not one. He's got power over devils. The worst man possessed with demons this day, walking on the streets of Flagstaff, under influence of all kinds of alcohol and drugs, doing acts that he should not do, one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ would save and cleanse that man for all eternity and change his life. He's got power over death and power over diseases and power over darkness, and he's got power over the devils. What hopeless situation do you have? What hopeless home are you living in? Going through a hard time in your marriage? There's hope. Jesus, amen. Having a hard time with your children? There's hope. Jesus. Jesus. I love saying His name. Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. What situation seems that it's impossible to get fixed? What are you going through? What disease am I? What is it that is troubling your life? And listen, all of these healings show the great truth of salvation. And maybe that's the problem. I'm convinced, and I'm a young preacher. Brother Bush is here, and he's been serving God. I'm sure he'd amen and echo me and maybe even describe it better than I can. But I'm convinced that most church members are lost and going to hell. Why aren't we having revival? Maybe it's because nobody's saved. Maybe somebody got saved by making a decision that was so flippant. Listen, you don't get saved because you decide to trust Him and try Him out. You don't try Jesus. You believe on the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt be saved. In your mind, it gets into your heart. You think it into your heart and you say, I'm going to accept Him. I'm going to place my faith in Him. It's real salvation. It's believing, but it's not a flippant, listen, I might as well just come down here and try this out. Many people have made professions, but they haven't had any possession. Maybe these miracles this morning needs to wake you up and help you understand, hey, the reason why your home is so hopeless, the reason why your life is so hopeless, the reason why you are living in such a dark world, the reason why your situation seems to be hopeless and your soul is so hopeless, because you've never been saved by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus does? He changes somebody inside to out. If we had a fire, if lightning struck down and caused a fire on Mount Humphreys right now, and it burned for acres, let me tell you something. You could look right here. You would go up there and you would see that something happened. Right? Come on. Father's Day, several years back, when it hit Mount Humphreys and that fire took off just here in Flagstaff on Father's Day that morning, You can go to the mountain right now and see the barrier. You know something happened. How in the world does God, who's bigger than a fire, move in the heart of a human being? Make them a born again, new man, woman in Christ, and you can't see any difference. Hey, the dead got up. The woman that had blood, she was healed whole immediately. The two blind men could see. The man possessed with the devil that was mute could speak and was free. What about your life? Do you know for certainty this morning that you've been born again, saved? Do you know for certainty that you have been under conviction and you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your salvation? My grandmother, she got saved when she was 27 years old. My granddaddy's name was Boyce Jean Lowry, 6'4", weighed about 260 pounds. Sometimes he hit about 360. Amen. He'd always fluctuate. He's a big man. Oh, he was a Baptist deacon. He was a good man on the outside, went to church, but he was a wife beater, child beater. My mother's got the stories. Good moments too, but a lot of bad moments growing up. He was a gambler, he was an alcoholic. My grandmother stayed faithful to him years and years and years down the road. Never left him, kept praying for him. He would say he was saved, but something was wrong because he kept beating and kept drinking and kept living a life of righteous living, which he hid to so many. And then one day, as my grandmother was in her late age, I believe early 60s, she's 80 right now. In her early 60s, after all those years of being 27 and born again and living with my grandfather, she said, "Boys, that's enough." I mean, he had been to rehabs, he had been to psych wards, he had done all these step programs to quit beating and quit drinking. She said, "Boys, that's enough. I'm done with this. All these years we raised our children. I've stayed faithful. I can't take it anymore. I'm leaving you." And he said, "Jackie Rude." He called her Rude. "Why do you think I live? I don't want to be like this. Why do you think I act like this?" And she said, "Boys, do you think it's because you have never really been born again?" And he dropped his head right then and there. and called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, placing his faith in Christ. And not one alcoholic beverage ever touched his lip after that day. Not one more time did he ever lay a hand on my grandmother. And he became one of the most faithful, loving people in the local church. People would come to church almost just to see him sing in that choir, because he sang like nobody else. He could not sing, but he sure looked like he was doing a good time. Oh, Jesus moved in him. Christ saved him, cleansed him. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new, the Bible says. I wonder how many, even right here in the service this morning, have never had the relationship where you got born again and Christ changed your life. You've been religious, like Jairus. You've gone to physicians. You've paid money, like the woman. You sit around following people trying to find help like the blind man. And your soul's been tormented like the lost man possessed with a demon. Jesus is the answer. Every problem, every situation. Hey, I want to say this morning. I'm about done. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. People need Christ, and that's it. You know why broken homes get broken? They stop walking with Jesus. That's it. You know why men live in pornography and adultery? It's a sad, sick world, isn't it? Well, they didn't get that way overnight. They got that way because they stopped having a private life with Christ. You know why there's ladies that say, that's it, I'm leaving, I want to live it up, I'm done with this marriage, I'm done with this life. You know why ladies get to that place in their marriage? Because they stopped having a private walk with Christ. That's it. You know why people stop going to church after years of being faithful? Because they stopped their personal, private life. And your answer this morning to every hopeless situation, every hopeless thing that ever could be imaginable, is Jesus. Let's pray. All heads about, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. All heads about, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you, what is it this morning that you need to be honest with? God has got you here this morning, hearing this message, for you to be honest. Maybe it's that you've never truly been saved. I don't know. Not everybody's going to heaven. Many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils? Did we not prophesy in thy name? He'll say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. The wages of sin is death. I mean, listen, if you're not saved this morning, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. I will not embarrass you. I do not do that, but I sure do want to pray for you. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'll be honest, I don't believe I'm truly saved. I don't know. I got doubt. There's times in my life I doubt it. There's things that I do and I wonder why. What's wrong with me? Maybe it's that I've never been truly born again. I would not embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. If you're here this morning and that is you, I'm going to snap my finger, and if you'll slip your hand up, I'll pray for you right now. No one's looking but me. Preacher, I do not know for certainty I'm going to heaven. Slip it up right now. Anybody, I'm looking. I'm looking. Praise God. That's great. You may put your hand down. That's great. Anybody else? Preacher, I do not know for certainty that I'm going to go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm looking. Anybody else? Slip it up. Anybody else this morning? God's convicting you. You didn't raise your hand, but you wanted to. You say, preacher, I didn't, but I want to. Would you slip it up right now? Let me give you another chance if you did not. Preacher, pray for me. Slip it up right now. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord. It's what we do every service. We give you an opportunity to get 100% assurance so you'll never have to doubt it again. I'm going to ask Sister Brown to take her Bible. And she's going to go over here by this altar. And if you raise your hand, and I'm going to ask Brother Marcus to take his Bible and go on this side. Gentlemen, if you are here and you raised your hand, and ladies, if you raise your hand, I want you to stand up right now and go to her. She'll go out that red door right there and get this thing settled and never have to worry about it the rest of your life. Come on right now. You raise your hand, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You go right now. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Sister Brown, wait one second. You got... Amen. That's great. Anybody else? You say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. I don't know for sure. Won't you stand up right now? Come right now and go with Brother Marcus. And if you're here this morning and you're saved by the good, blessed, wonderful grace of Jesus, what kind of situation are you living in? Does your home seem hopeless? The answer is Jesus. Does your situation seem hopeless? The answer is Jesus. Do you feel like you have a hopeless life? The answer is Jesus. A hopeless soul? The answer this morning to everything is Jesus. Committing yourself to Christ. Saying, yes, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord this day forward. My home, I need them. My life, I need them. My soul needs the Savior. What you need to do this morning is say, that's it, empty and broken. I come back to you. I want you, God. I want to serve you like I should. So you messed up last week. Get back up and serve them this week like you should. So you haven't had a private life like you ought. Listen, you're running on fumes. You're going to destroy your home, destroy your life, destroy your loved ones. You better come broken and say, God, I need Thy Son. I need to walk with Him. I need my personal time. I need Him. I'm going to pray. When I say amen, pass me not, O gentle Savior, is going to start playing. And the altar will be open. Father in heaven, I pray the Holy Ghost to have the victory. God, make us, help us to see, help us understand that a hopeless home can have hope, and that you've got power over death, and power over darkness, and power over devils and diseases, that you're the great God that gives hope to every situation, hope to every life, hope to every soul. Oh God, help us this morning to fall at the feet of Jesus. In Christ's blessed name, for His sake, and Thy glory. Amen. Let's stand up. Piano's playing. You come forward right now. Pass me not over.